Good morning. Take just a moment and let people find seats. Welcome to Zion. Welcome to this community of believers. Welcome to worship with us. Take a look around you. There's a lot of empty space. That isn't what I wanted to point out, but we can worship anyway. But look around you at the people and ask yourself, do you love these people? Because if you don't, you can't worship. I think Jesus said that to us. If you don't love each other, you don't love me either. So we do need to love each other. And I like to do that reality check every once in a while. Just look around and say, do you love these people? Is there anyone here you don't love? What do we do about it if there is? So, welcome to worship. If you have an announcement this morning, would you come forward right now? Review those in the bulletin. There are quite a few. Anybody have an announcement to make? Looks like not. Okay, for a call to worship, let's read responsively. This passage from Isaiah. Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. This text starts out, come. A lot of translations say, ho. Ho. That's slangy. Do you ever think about the prophets using slang? Hey, they were talking to the people in a very familiar way many, many times, and it would be like me saying to you, hey, hey. So let's read this together. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost.
Why should you spend money on what does not bread, and our labor on what does not satisfy?
Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live.
God will make an everlasting covenant with us. His faithful love promises to David, our ancestors. God has made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples.
Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not no, will come running to you because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor.
We will seek the Lord while he may be found. We will call on him while he is near.
Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is God's word that goes out from his mouth. May God's word to us not return to him empty. May it accomplish what God desires and achieve the purpose for which he sent it. Let's sing together.
So So in the blue hymnal worship book, stand as long as you are interested in doing that. Oh, yeah, turn to page number 14. Number 521, Come Thou Fount.
Teach me, Lord.
turn to number 491, Softly and Tenderly. With 599.
Thank you.
Janie, you got five verses out of a song that only had four. Good job. It took me a minute to figure it out. Would the ushers come forward for the offering? Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this community and these people who we've gathered to worship with. We thank you that you are our God and that we can worship you. And as a part of that worship, we bring our tithes and our offerings this morning. We pray that you will bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
And would the children come forward for the children's story, please? All 300 of you, come forward. Good morning, sir. Do you have a new watch? Is that a new watch on your hand? Yeah, I like that. Oh, please come a little bit closer to me. I'm so lonely up here. Yeah. Wow. Where's Nicholas today? Back there? He's not going to come up? Is he afraid of me? Okay, he's just going to be there. How are you two ladies? I like the way your hair is braided. Next Sunday, I'm going to do my hair that way. No, why not? You're giving me that look. All right. Paul, did you have a good weekend? I heard something about you. I heard that Dustin is staying over at your house while your parents are gone, and you're having a big party. Is that right?
Party part.
Not the party part. Well, I talked to Dustin back there. He said he was a little tired. I don't know what you guys did to wear him out, but yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you four made it up here this morning, or made it up here, that you came up here to join me this morning. Yeah. Do all of you go to school? Yeah. Are you in school yet? No, not yet. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what grade I'm in? How old do you think I am?
I don't know.
You don't know? Yeah. 69, and I love being 69, and I was your age, believe it or not, at one time, and I've got a friend that I want to come up and join me. Tim, could you join me? And he's not 69 yet, and here's your microphone, but Tim knows a whole lot about kids, because you have a couple of them your own, don't you? What are your, tell me about your kids. How old are they?
I have Andrew, who will be 9 next month. Mm-hmm. And then I have Jerome, who just turned 5.
Right.
And I have DJ, who's 21.
Yeah. Oh,
he's the biggest kid of them all, though.
And somebody has a birthday today in your family, don't they?
Jerome's birthday party is today.
Oh,
yeah.
His birthday party. Okay.
Yeah, because his birthday's on Christmas. So
yeah.
We always celebrate it a month later, so that it's
makes
just
it special.
Day. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tim has a really interesting and unusual job. And tell us just a squeaky bit about your job and then what it has to do with kids. How do you?
So for the last 10 years or so in Arizona and here in Cambia. In Cambia, it's been the last 3 years. My job has been to help families who don't have enough food or clothing, or maybe they just had a rough time in life. Maybe they lost their jobs. And so it's helping provide for their families and helping provide the things that they can't do themselves.
So, have you guys ever ran out of food in your house? Tim is telling us that he helps families that run out of food. Nancy and I have never run out of food in our house. You mean to tell me that there are people who live in Cambie and that there are some kids that are this age whose moms and dads run out of food?
Yeah, we have a lot of families in Cambie. And actually for our really young kids, so all the kids up through sixth grade in Cambie, they say about half of them are probably going to struggle with food being put on the table sometime throughout the year.
How is that possible? How is that possible that we have enough food to eat and that there are kids that don't? So, Tim, when you're working with them and you're meeting them, what do you see? What's going on?
You know, actually, probably one of the best examples of what I see have seen is happened to my son, actually. And so it was his, I knew his friend. I knew his friend's family. It was a family that we had helped at one time.
Right.
And one day in class, he came home, and we knew that something was different because there was no crust left in his lunch.
Yeah.
And he always left his crust.
This was your son?
Yeah, my son. He never ate the crust. So
Let me check it out. Do you guys eat the crust on your bread? Yeah. Okay. These are crust. These are crust eaters.
Crust eaters. No, he won't eat it. So no crust. Mm-hmm. So it was about the third day in a row that he came home with no crust.
Yeah.
So finally, my wife, she said, "What happened to your crust?"
Yeah.
And we thought he was throwing away his food because he typically didn't finish it. And so we thought he was throwing it all away. And he kind of put his hands in his face and said, "I don't want to get in trouble." And we said, "You're not going to get in trouble. What happened?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, my friend has been hungry
and
has been asking me if he could eat my crust and finish the food that I don't."
Wow.
And so I've been giving it to him. And so I think it's, you know, that's what we get to see, is we get to see kids who they're thinking more about how do I eat enough food instead of learning the alphabet or math or all the other things that they try to do.
Wow. Trying to think what that would be like to get up in the morning. I'm going to pretend I'm, 9 years old, 10 years old, and I'm going to school. And instead of my mom giving me a big breakfast like she did, I don't have anything to eat. And I go to school, and I'm thinking that I'm really hungry for a long time until noon.
Yeah.
That would be hard to learn. So you meet these kids that don't have enough food.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a rich man? How did you get that money to buy all that food?
No, I'm not a rich man. But I serve a God who's a rich God. And, you know, he has got a lot of people who love him and who give because he asks them to give. Mm-hmm. And that makes sure that we have the financial ability to give food whenever kids need it, when families need it.
Yeah. So, boys and girls, Tim works at a place called the Cambie Center. I don't know if you've heard of it before. This church here gives money to help so the Cambie Center can keep going, so that there's food there for people that don't have food. They do much more than that. I've been in the Cambie Center when there's meetings going on. I think you have classes and stuff there, too. But anyway, are you telling me that, like, these moms and dads and kids come into the Cambie Center and pick up food?
Some of them come into the Cambie Center, but the kids, the way they get the majority of their food, it actually goes home with them on Fridays at their schools. So we actually have people who deliver food to the schools who then get it to the teachers who then get it to the kids that need it most.
Right.
And so we have about 250 kids that every Friday get to go home with food that way.
Okay. That makes me feel better. Some of the kids have food to take home then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I can help you have food for those kids when I give money to the Cambie Center.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good deal. Do any of you have questions for Tim? No questions? Okay. Well, Tim, thanks for sharing just a bit of what you're doing. And, yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Do you mind if I pray for the kids that Tim's working with? Would that be okay with you guys? All right, let's pray together. Hey, Father, you know about hunger and the children much better than any of us sitting in this whole big church. And I ask that you help them to have enough food. Help us to be able to help them find food. I thank you for your Holy Spirit and for these four kids that are here this morning. And for Tim and the work he's doing. Your name, amen. Okay, see you later.
Thank you, Ken and Tim. They describe a world that none of us have experienced. Probably none of us have experienced. But it's our world, and it's mixed right in with us. And I guess the question is, can we see it? So thank you. I'd like to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. You can read along if you want, or you can just listen. Starting at verse 36. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. But they were startled and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it before them. And then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Tim, would you come? I'm happy to introduce to you Tim Lesher. Tim is the heart and soul of Canby Center. Actually, God is the heart and soul, but he flows through Tim. So,
thank you.
Let's pray. All right. Lord God, we thank you for this brother. We thank you for your presence in him, for the preparation that he has done for this message. We pray that you will fill him with your spirit, give him the words to say, and I pray that you will tune our ears and open our hearts and minds to hear and understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, good morning. Before I get started, I just want to say thank you. This last year, since we moved into our new building in August of 2013, God has just blessed us tremendously, and He has blessed us through many of you in this community and all throughout Cambie. So just thank you. Thank you for all of the blessings that you pour down upon the Cambie Center, which in turn allows us to pour out blessings. Thank you to those who volunteer. So many of you come through and put your blood, sweat, and tears and build relationships with families and really just pour into the lives of people. And so we thank you for that. Because we always say the Cambie Center is all of us. We together collectively make the Cambie Center and make it a special place. And for lots of people, it is exactly that. It's a place of hope, a place of light, a place of much needed relief. But more than anything, just a place that has been created where they know they can turn and find someone who's going to care. And so thank you for helping us make sure that we do that. And so this morning, what I would like for us to do is to look at this passage of Luke 24. And this passage is Jesus appearing to his disciples for the last time. And so throughout the last few chapters there of Luke and in other Gospels, we see that he appeared to the disciples in different ways. And they still didn't quite get it. They still did not quite understand what they were seeing. And so Jesus decided to show up one last time before he ascended to heaven. And this is just a small glimpse of it. But one of the things that it talks about here is being a witness. And when you think about witnesses, all of us have been witnesses to something in our life. Some of it good, some of it bad. Sometimes it's car wrecks. Sometimes it's a crime. Sometimes, as in my kid's case right now, it's siblings melting down. And so they're always the witness to tell us exactly what happened and their version of it and what it looks like. Sometimes, this is the one that's the biggest that I see, at least around my family, is a sporting event or a play. And all of a sudden we pick up the phone, especially because we're all in different states, and we'll pick up the phone knowing we're watching the game together, and we'll call and say, "Did you just see that play?" And if the other one wasn't watching it, then we go ahead and spoil it for them and tell them exactly what happened, and we're a witness in that way. And so as we look at our lives, we see that all over our life, we end up being witnesses. We end up being witnesses in so many different ways. And usually, these things impact us in some way, and that's the reason why we are a witness. But yet, I don't know about you, for myself, the greatest thing that has happened in my life is oftentimes the hardest thing to be a witness about. And so I look at all these other things and how easy it is for me to talk about that play. I remember the Fiesta Bowl when Oklahoma State plays Stanford, and it's in 2012, and I'm with my son, and I get to tell everyone I was there when this happened. And it's something that we talk about all the time. But yet the greatest thing, what God's done in my life, is oftentimes the hardest thing for me to be a witness about. And so when we look at this passage, and Jesus is showing up, and he's coming to his disciples, and I believe that he's trying to teach us all something. And in 48, it says, "You are witnesses of these things." Another account of this in Acts, it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So, what have we witnessed? As Christians, what have we witnessed? Because it says, "You have witnessed these things," so therefore we're supposed to be witnesses. And so I have to ask myself and I have to say, what have I witnessed? What can I share with the world around me? And so what I want us to look at is here in this passage, I believe, when Jesus was appearing to his disciples at the very end, he was giving us just a small glimpse of those things which we are to be witnesses about in this world. And when I look at what I do and what we do at the Cambie Center, these things are the most essential things that we can give to every person who walks through there, is a testimony of how God has worked in our life as we witness what we have experienced with God. And so the first thing that he tells us is in verse 36, it says, "And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" The first thing that we get to witness is the peace of God. It's something that should flow through each one of our lives. It should be stamped upon us. It should be something that we live in the midst of. In John 14, 27, he said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you.
Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, a lot of the good things that we do in this world, a lot of the serving, a lot of the, whether it be here or whether it be overseas, the world's doing the same thing. They've got their nonprofits, they've got their projects, they've got their things that they want to do in this world, just like us. And what Jesus is telling us here, he's giving us a good clue. He's saying, I'm giving you a peace that the world does not understand. We're to be witnesses of that peace. One of the commentaries, the IVP commentary says this. It says, the peace Jesus is talking about is not the cessation of hostilities from enemies, but rather the gift of calmness and confidence that comes from union with God and faith in Him and His purposes. The world's idea of peace is something that comes through destroying of enemies and can consist of physical and emotional comfort. The peace that Jesus gives is grounded in God, not in circumstances. It is the peace that Jesus Himself has exhibited in this gospel and is exhibiting in this farewell discourse, even while He knows He is about to be killed. See, that's the peace. It's a peace that says no matter the circumstances, you can have peace. And so the question comes, have we ourselves witnessed that peace in our life? And if so, are we being a witness in this world with that same peace? It's a peace that says you can have peace in trial. It's a peace that says you can be at peace with death, at peace with God, at peace with our life and our circumstances, and at peace with others. You see, Jesus was telling His disciples, I'm bringing you peace. And I'm bringing you peace so that then you in turn can be My witnesses of that peace here on this earth. It's a call that each one of us are called to. We are called to be witnesses to the peace of God that we have experienced. The second thing that we find here is that Jesus really came to them and it was very personal. He touched each one of them where they were at. You see, in this passage, we find that Jesus has already shown Himself to all the disciples in some way, shape, or form. And He's shown up, and these guys are still troubled. They still have their doubts whether or not it really is Jesus. And Jesus recognized this in their own life, and He says, come on, come over here. He said, touch Me. And then they go up, they touch Him, they see His scars, they see the wounds, they stick their fingers in it, and they still have their doubts. And instead of getting frustrated, Jesus says, do you have anything to eat? Because the spirit can't eat. But if you give Me some food, I'll eat it and I'll show you that I can. You see, Jesus saw in their life doubts. He saw in their life troubles. And He personally met them right where they needed to be met. So this week I counted up. And did you know that around 14 times in the gospel it says that Jesus touched them and something happened? 14 times in the gospels we find that he touched them. And from that, most of the time, it was healing that occurred. You see, Jesus is a personal God. And He's still doing it today. He touches each one of our lives in a special way. And what He's asking us to do is that as we are touched, as we witness the touch of God in our own life, that we are to turn around and to be His witness in this world, that Jesus wants to touch everybody in that same way. It's that touch that in our troubles comforts us. It's that touch in our doubts that brings clarity of mind. It's that touch that touches us where we need it most, and when we need it most. You see, when I think about going out into the world and meeting the needs of the least of these, meeting the needs of those around us, serving others, loving others, what Jesus is telling us in this passage is, as you have been touched, be a witness to others and allow Me to touch them as well. Man. Now all of a sudden that being a witness, it takes on a whole new meaning. Because we've been touched so that we can then be that same witness in this world. The last thing is this. He tells us that there's a revelation of truth. In verse 45, it says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." John 14:6 tells us this. He says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, he did these things in their life. He brought them peace. He met them right where they were at, so that he could then in turn reveal the truth to them. And in that truth, he gave them specific tasks of going out and taking this. It says, starting in Jerusalem, and then we find out in Acts 1:8, and it says, go to the ends of the earth. You see, he revealed the truth, and he reveals the truth to us today, not so that we keep it inside of us, not so that it just changes our life, but so that in the revealing of the truth, it turns around and we are able to be witnesses in this world. The beauty of being a witness is this. The person on the other end gets to decide whether or not your testimony is truth or not truth. It's not on us, but it's on us to be the witness. It's on us to be clothed with these things, to be living these things out. And what he's saying is, as I reveal my truth to you, in turn, be my witnesses. So, he talks about here that we need to witness and be a witness of his peace. We need to witness and be a witness of his truth. And we need to witness and be a witness of his personal touch, the way that he comes to us in our troubles and our doubts. But here's the beauty of it. He finishes it off with verse 49. Which I think is one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. And he says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." See, the beauty of it is that we're not asked to be witnesses alone. Because I guarantee you that if I was asked to be a witness on my own, I'd screw it up most of the time. But the reality of life is that we've been given a gift, a powerful gift that we should be clothed with daily. And that is the Holy Spirit. It was a promise. It was a gift that was given to us. And what I believe happens is that when we allow the Holy Spirit to clothe us every day, we move from a witness to a star witness. We now all of a sudden have irrefutable testimony because of the power behind it that nobody can deny. Because now all of a sudden it's not just Tim saying, "Hey, this is the great thing that happened," but the power of the Holy Spirit that is within me flows out of my testimony, and the world gets to see the truth. And his power is irrefutable. So the question comes down to this. How is what we do shaped by our witnesses of what by the way we have witnessed what we've seen and experienced? Does it even shape us? Does God come in and bring us that peace? Does he touch our lives? Do we have the truth revealed to us? And does that change how we act in our everyday life? And if we take it one step further, it's this. I think we would all agree that God calls us to reach out to the least of these. Through food, through clothing, through visiting them in prison, through bringing about freedom from those that are enslaved to addiction and all of the different ways that we can get enslaved. God has called us all to do that. I see in this church, you guys understand this greater than most communities of believers, that we are to go out there and to touch lives. But the question comes down to this. How has the things that we have witnessed God do in our lives changed the witness that we do, that we have when we do these things? Because what Jesus was calling his disciples at that moment in time, he was saying, "You have witnessed these things so that you can go out into the world." That is the call that God has placed in our life. And I believe this. Our giving, our serving, our working, and our loving others should look dramatically different than the world's version because of what we witness. And that there is a power, and that power is the Holy Spirit. It indwells in us. And as Jesus said, it should clothe us daily. See, 3 years ago, whenever I came to the Canby Center, one of the things that I was most excited about was that I got to see a place where all of God's people were together trying to serve a community as one. And that just excites me as can be, that it's not one church, but it's all churches. All churches are invited to come together as one. And that's a powerful testimony. But further than that, I believe God is calling us in the community of Canby, Oregon, to be His witnesses to the things that we have witnessed Him do in our life. Because if we don't do that, then in the end, we look just like the world with our serving. Because ultimately, above everything else that we do here on this earth, we have been called to be a witness. And so my prayer, my challenge to you today is to look inside your heart and to say, God, what have I witnessed you do in my life that I need to go into my daily life and share? Because when the power of the Holy Spirit moves you to be that witness, lives and people around you are changed like we could never imagine. And that is truly when the church flourishes and the kingdom of God spreads. And that is the last thing Jesus asked his disciples before he left this earth, was to be his witnesses. And then he gave us a promise and a gift to make sure that we had everything that we needed to be that witness. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you that you have called us, Lord. You have called us not just to serve, but to be a witness. Knowing our history, our background, where we've come from, the sin that is in our lives, the things that are going on, you are still calling us to be your witnesses. And beyond that, you said, I will make sure that you have everything that you need by giving you the Holy Spirit, who will clothe you and give you power, so that when your testimony goes out of what I've done in your life, it can penetrate the hearts of those who don't believe. And so, God, I just pray that as we go about our daily life, as we serve, as we do the things which you have called us to do, God, I pray that first and foremost, at the front of all we do, we try to be a witness to the power that has changed our lives, God. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your truth. May it change who we are, God. In your name, amen.
In the blue hymnal worship book, Be Thou My Vision, number 545.
Oh, Each Sunday we take time to share what we would like to share in front of the for the congregation to hear, and we spend some time in prayer on that. Thank you, Tim. Yeah. I invite any of you that have never gone to the Canby Center, don't all go the same day, but to go there and spend some time just looking through it. If Tim's free, he'll take you around. Or go online through the website. It's an eye-opening experience. Something about your sharing this morning when you're doing a children's story, and when you were talking, I had an opportunity to volunteer at the alternative school in Canby, where kids go that can't function in the regular schools. And I met with a director before, and he wanted to see if I was a good match for what was going on there. He said, you want me to work with kids with math issues? And I said, they probably know more math than I do. I'm not sure about this. He said, that's not the issue. These kids need somebody who will walk alongside them to help them believe they can do it. Those of parents in here, and I'm a parent, who have given our children not only food, that's basic, but we've taught them to believe, to trust, have given them the most an extremely valuable gift. You know, it involves not only their relationship with each other, but their relationship with God. Oh, Nancy, would you take notes for me as I go around with the microphone, and if somebody shares, I don't do the two things very well together. Is there anybody that would like to share this morning? This afternoon at 3 o'clock, hi Julie, I'll be there in a minute. 3 o'clock, we'll gather to celebrate Vera's life. And I see glad to see many of the Garber kids there and some back over there. Yeah, I have fond memories of Vera. She was always so friendly to me. So let's remember the family as they gather it this afternoon.
I'm just grateful and want to thank God for a good report for Dave on Friday. He had a couple of therapies and just had a really good report. We're just very encouraged. He can try to work a little bit more, push himself maybe up to half days, a couple times a week anyway. So that was just a boost of encouragement that maybe I needed more than him. But after 5 months, it's kind of gotten long, and it just was good news.
Yeah, it's good news for all of us. It's been a long journey, hasn't it? Seemed long, anyway. Anyone else?
This is Carol Miller. This past week, I had put on the prayer chain to pray for my great niece, May. She will be 1 week old tomorrow. She was requiring oxygen. They've been able to take her off, I think, most of the time. Her vital signs are looking good, and they are being able to hold her more. Even Grandma Jan got to hold her for a half an hour yesterday. So that's a praise, but continue to pray for her improvement, that she could go home. They're hoping this week.
Yeah, and did you say she's a week old? A week old, wow. Anyone else? Yeah.
Clark Yoder here. Our daughter Kiara has finally come home Thursday the 29th. And so she'll be flying home from Paris. That's that end of her journey, anyhow, coming this way. Also, I guess we'd pray for Caleb. He's just kind of traveling around the world right now, and I never know where he's going to be. It turns out this week he started out in Japan, I think, or Hawaii, and then he ended up in Abu Dhabi, and then he went up to Germany, and now he's in Tehran this morning or last night, I noticed. Istanbul. Anyhow, he's someplace. And he's going to be coming home in a week or two. And so we just ask for protection for him as he travels. Because I think he's kind of going where the wind's blowing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure. It's just the adventure.
Yeah. You're kind of hoping it's blowing home, bringing him here for a bit, huh?
Well, he'll be home in 1st of February for sure.
Okay. For Caleb, for sure. Anyone else? Okay, Nancy. No, it's fine. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Vera and John and their lives here and the contributions they made to our church. And the contributions they've made through their children to our church and our community. I ask that your spirit be real evident, that we sense it this afternoon as we gather and celebrate her life. We give thanks with Julie and Dave for his progress as he moves towards a better health. Thank you for your patience, or for your staying with Dave and Julie during this walk. For Carol's 1 week old niece. 1 week seems awfully young to be in the hospital. But you care deeply about her. Thank you. Thank you that Kiara is back home, that you have, I'm assuming, I haven't talked with her directly, but just looking at her, things she's doing on Facebook, you have blessed her with new friends all over the world, with a rich experience in the Taze experience in France. And for Caleb, we ask your protection on him as he travels and eventually makes his way home. Thank you for loving us and keeping us. In your name, amen.
After the sending song, there will be a benediction, but let's stand and sing Guide My Feet, number 546.
Guide my feet.
Stand by me. I'm your child.
While I run this race, I'm your child. While I run this race, I'm your child. While I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain.
Search my heart.
Disciples was, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Go with God's blessing.